Amos Perek Aleph Pasuk Gimel begins a sequence that lasts about a perek and a half, which are eight oracles against the Amim, as we're going to see. And he's going to start off with Aram, and then go on to the Plishtim, to Tsar, Phoenicia, Edom, Ammon, Moab, Yehuda, and finally zeroing in on Yisrael, who's the real target of much of the book of Amos. Remember, Amos is from the south, from Yehuda, but he is going north to lecture Malchus Yisrael about what's going to come and how terrible things are going to go for them. What's interesting is that these messages are not actually going to the nations who are being told about their doom. And in fact, it's not even clear that Yisrael itself is supposed to learn some kind of moral lesson out of this. It seems to be, Rabbi Etshalom really gets into the weeds on this, that these are not about moral equivalence or a common standard, but they express that all families of the earth are subject to God's judgment. Hashem's basic baseline rule is that a nation that sins is exiled. This is not the focus of the message to the Yisraelim, to Malchus Yisrael, but it's an important message that echoes through generations later on, and that the nations that do terrible things to Klal Yisrael are eventually going to pay. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we said in the first couple of psukim, is not going to forget to demand compensation from them. Now, each of these oracles, to call them that, take on a fairly common pattern. They're about three psukim each, as we're going to see. They all begin Ko Amar Hashem, which is a formula that some biblical scholars call the messenger formula. To say, Ko Amar Hashem, it's a message from a superior, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, going down to human beings. There's no equivalence here. Ko Amar Hashem, as Moshe Rabbeinu said, confronting Paro, is thus says Hashem to you, about you, what's going to happen to you. And we don't see that very often in many of the other Nevi'im, but here we're going to see it several times in a row. And where we begin, also, the other part of the formula is that they're going to get three sins, three pesha'im, where they're going to be overlooked or even forgiven. But the fourth one is more heinous than the other ones. And the thing that they all have in common is that they're all war crimes. Crimes against Klal Yisrael, crimes of excessive destruction, of handing over refugees to be victimized when they are innocent and just barely surviving. Killing of one's brother in the case of Edom. All of these are going to be war crimes except for Yehuda. Yehuda is going to be disobedience to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we've seen in many of the Nevi'im so far. And we're also going to see Midah Keneged Midah, that there is a poetic justice for everything that they've done. Their capital city's defenses are going to be destroyed. There's going to be fire. There's going to be destruction and devastation, and there's eventually going to be exile. So this is Midah Keneged Midah for the terrible things they did. Finally, since we use the word Pish'ei Damesek, Pish'aim, so often, there are different levels of sin. Chet is neglect or ignorance of the circumstances around you, like a bowman who is off target. That's a chet. You went off target. You missed the mark. Avon is intentional wrongdoing. Zadon is a transgression. We say all of these, we're going to say them all, Yomim Noroim, where you had inner anger or passion that drove you to sin. And a Ma'al is a trespassing, where you weren't supposed to betray the way you did. Can't use Hekdesh, that's Me'ilah. Pesha is a different kind. Those are all neglect or urge or appetite. But a Pesha is that the violator is rejecting authority. In this case, authority of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do the terrible pesha that they're going to do. Al kol dvar pesha, al shor v'chamor, we say in Parshas Mishpatim, you're going to pay kefel, you're going to pay arba v'chamisho. It's a violation of an agreement or a contract. It's not just a rebellion. It's not just a momentary lust. It's something where you considered what you were doing. So let's start off. The introduction took a little while, so let's at least do ko amar Hashem sespasa gimal al shlosha pish'ei damesek. For the three Peshayim of Damasek, Damascus, of Aram, V'al arba lo ashivenu, I allowed the three transgressions to go by, but for the fourth, I am not going to return them. I'm not going to overlook it I'm not going to return him empty-handed without the midah keneged midah he deserves. Al dusham b'charutzos habarzel es hagilad. And what is that last chet? What is that last peshia, I should say? That they threshed Gilad, those who lived in Gilad, with sledges, with plows of iron, torturing people to cut the stubble of the grain to make straw, torturing people without food and basic materials of life that they're going to need. And exactly when this destruction of Gilad that we're talking about seems to have been earlier, we know that when Elisha went to anoint Hazael, this is back in Malachim Beis, we did this, to be the king of Damasek, of Aram, after he murders Ben-Hadad in his bed and smothers him with a pillow, we know that Elisha is weeping because of the terrible things Hazael was going to do to the Jewish people. And this is one of the terrible things that Hazael does, is the absolute obliteration of the people of Gilad. V'shilach t'yesh b'veis Chazoel, says Pasuk Dalet. I'll send fire into the house of Chazoel. There's your midah keneged midah. We destroy the royal house by fire. And Chazoel, of course, was a usurper against Ben-Hadad. V'achla armenos Ben-Hadad. But it's going to devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad as well. So the first step of a kingdom's destruction is burning by fire, with everything on fire. Damascus is a well-fortified walled city. And we see now that that fortification isn't going to hold. Hey, v'shavarti b'riach Damasek. I'm going to break the bolt, the lock that holds the doors of Damasek closed. So that fortification isn't going to do any good. V'chrati yoshev mi bikas oven. I will cut off the inhabitants from bikas oven. V'somech shevet mi beis eden. And the one who holds the scepter is going to be cut off from beis eden. So that's the leadership. Beis Oven, which could mean, or I'm sorry, Bikas Oven, can be seen as the Valley of Oven, but it's a derogatory term also that was used for Beis El, where the golden calf was. This might be Bikas Oven, the Beka Valley, which is in southern Lebanon. Beis Eden is usually identified by scholars with Tel Amar, 320 kilometers northeast of Damascus. So these are pretty high up in Aram, nowhere near Yisrael, but they're going to be destroyed. And the final step is, V'golu Am Aram Kira, the people of Aram are going to be exiled, and they're going to be sold in captivity to Kir. Omar Hashem, Hashem says, Kir, according to some, is where the Aramean people began, because none of these people are the original inhabitants back in the time of Lot and such. So Aram Mikir is mentioned earlier in Tanakh. So they're going to be exiled back to a place that they don't even remember because they came from there so long ago, but they're going to be kicked back to their origins. Next, we go on to the Pelishtim.